to share something. It's out of 2 Kings chapter 4, from verses 8 to 17. Trust me, I'm in the Word. But the Lord dropped something in my spirit on last night as I was meditating before the Lord. I told you that the Lord said He's going to do some supernatural things in here. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of our new normal. Can I say it like that? This is our new normal, that God's going to be moving in ways like this. So we cannot expect that we are going to have church as usual. And I believe God is preparing us for getting outside of these four walls and making a difference. If we're going to see this place overflowing and people coming into the kingdom, we've got to do our part. And so God's got to get us free so we can go out and get others free. Somebody say amen to that. It's hard to get somebody else free when you're not free yourself. But when you get free, every time I read in the Word, whenever somebody got free, they went back and told somebody else, look at what the Lord has done for me. And so God is working on us. He's preparing us. Those of you who have been in the military, you know, before you go out into the field or before you release to your duty assignment, that you always have to go through basic training. The basic training prepares you and readies you for what you have to deal with in the coming months and in the coming years. God is doing the same thing in us right now. He's working on us even now. But I want to share something that the Lord dropped in my spirit. He dropped this word. It's just a simple thought. A season of change is coming. There's a season of change that is coming to us. And it means that the word that God has spoken over your life, some of you right now, you have words that have been spoken over your life, and you're wondering, when is this going to happen? Some of you, you've had prophecies that has been spoken over your life a while back. And you have reached a point where you said, well, maybe they missed it. Maybe it really wasn't God. And the Lord was dealing with me last night to say, tell my people that I have not forgotten about them, that I am going to fulfill everything that I promised them. For God is a promise-keeping God, even down to 1,000 generations. Does he not say in Psalms 89 and 34, my covenant I will not break, neither will I alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth? So God is a covenant-keeping God. And he told me to tell you that the thing that he said he was going to do, even months or years ago, God says, I'm going to fulfill that. And the reason why it's going to happen now is because you're entering into a season of change. And see, some of you got frustrated because you said, why hasn't it happened before now? It should have been turned around. It should have been worked out. And God says, no, I couldn't do it then because it wasn't the season to do it then. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There will always be seasons where you can never get anything from God out of season. That's why God is never early and he's never late, but he's right on time because he does things in season. See, we know that by the natural. You understand that when the winter season, God knows, I'm so glad that that's getting out of here now. But we understand that when there's a winter season, we expect cold temperatures. We expect inclement weather. In fact, some of you, you go as far as to begin to take your winter coat out. Come on, somebody. You get your boots out and you put them on the side of the bed because you expect that the weather is going to change. We're going to have some snow every now and then. So you expect that. And because you expect that, you prepare accordingly. When there's rain season, you expect that it's going to rain. Why do you say that? Because that's why you take your umbrella with you. Come on, while you're on the subway, you got your umbrella. And the weird thing about that is that the weatherman will predict that it's an 80% chance of rain. Sometimes he's right. And sometimes he's wrong, but you still, by faith, take the umbrella because the weatherman said it's going to rain. What about God? If God said this is the season of your turnaround, your change, why don't you expect that change is going to happen? It doesn't matter what your situation is right now. It doesn't matter what you're facing right now or how long you have been in it or what you are expecting. When God says it's the season of change, you got to expect that change is going to happen. Can you nudge your neighbor and say a change is coming? I want you to understand this. This is not anything to get you all tingly and your toes start tingling. This is a word, a prophetic word from the Lord that God gave me last night. He said, you are entering into a season of change. And just like the seasons are, so it is with the season of change. You've got to get your faith back out and expect that change is going to take place. You can't allow what you see or how you feel to dictate what God is going to do in your life. You may feel like it's not going to happen. You may feel like it's not going to change. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen because you are entering into a season of change. Can somebody say new season? Yeah, yeah. When you see, the thing is, when you're in a winter season, you can't expect sunshine. You don't expect warm temperatures in a winter season. Somebody says it's just not going to happen. And when you're in the summer, you don't expect snow to happen, do you? Then you can't expect that God's going to give you something out of season. It's going to happen according to the seasons of life. And God says, some of you are entering into a season of change where the thing that didn't happen is going to happen. The door that wouldn't open. See, God, I don't know if you're resonating with me. See, the reason why the door didn't open then and you were knocking and knocking and praying and fasting and spitting and rolling and cartwheeling and it still didn't happen. The reason why, it wasn't your season. But you can go back to that same door when it's your season and he'll say, I've set before you open doors that no man can shut. It's been shut for a while because it wasn't your season. But you need to tell somebody, get out of my way. It's my season now. Get back in line. Get up and get back in line because you next. Pastor, you understand? I've been knocking for a long time. I'm tired of knocking. No. See, the reason why the door ain't open when you were knocking then, because it wasn't your season. But my God, I dare you to knock now. Because if you go back and knock now, it's your season. Those things are, oh God. If you heard what I said, you would give God a real good praise. Come on, you got to get your faith back out. See, the problem is you ain't resonating right now because your faith is not out. You got to get your faith out with an expectancy that I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. It's going to rain. Change is imminent now. And God says, I'm going to change some things. Change, you know, the word change means to alter, to rearrange, to shift. Oh, some of y'all, you've been waiting for a shift. You need a shift in your finance and a shift in your marriage. Come on, somebody. You need a shift in your family. And God's getting ready to shift some things now. I wish it would have happened 5 years. You can't think about five. It wasn't your season. But now, somebody say now. Now is my season of change. He's ushering that season in now. Don't you understand? I keep telling you, this has spiritual ramifications. We've shifted. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. My Bible said, first natural, then spiritual. He's turning things around. And you're going to experience something totally different and new. Why? Because God has promised you. And whatever God has promised, he keeps his word. He keeps his word. You know, when I was reading that text, I was fascinated. I've been there so many times in that 2 Kings chapter 4. And normally, you know, we keep reading down to when the son died and, you know, how God, you know, she said it as well. But I didn't go that far. I just went to verse 17 because there was some revelation that this woman, this Shunammite woman, she experienced a season of change. You read that text and you'll find out that this Shunammite woman, she first of all, she was a very generous woman.
She had wealth. The text says that she was a great woman of God. She was a great woman. And that just suggests that she had means. And what did she do? You know, and I was pulling some little nuggets out of there. The first thing she does, because she had some means, she set up a room for the man of God. She fed the man of God every time he came in town, her and her husband, and took care of him. And what got me is that, I mean, that was okay. And trust me, I'm not saying that so you can come down here and kiss my ring and bow at my head and, you know, take a bow. That's not what I'm saying that. I'm saying that to bring out this truth. What got me was nobody told her to do it. Nowhere do I read that it was an audible voice from God. Fire came down from heaven. Bless the man of God. Take care of my servant, Elijah. None of that happened. But the Bible said that she perceived to her husband that this was a holy man of God. And because she perceived, she took it upon herself to do something, to serve him. Why do I say that? Because I believe that is the Achilles heel for the church. We are missing it because we have become too self-contained and self-focused on ourselves until we can't help anybody else. I ain't got time to help them. I'm hurting too. Well, I ain't got nothing to give them. I need somebody to give me too. This woman didn't say that. She was willing to bless somebody else. She wasn't even concerned about the need that she had. She never articulated that. She just started serving. I wonder what would happen if the church would take its focus off of themselves and start putting it on somebody else. I guess we would accomplish a whole lot more than what we've accomplished. But I believe we are so focused on what we want to do and my issues and my situations until we don't see what's around us. And as much as you are hurting, I want to tell you something. There's somebody hurting worse than you. And you may not have two brown nickels to rub together, but they don't even have a mind to think about two brown nickels. There's always somebody that we can serve. And I see this woman serving. Why do I say that? I say that to bring me to this next point here. The woman is serving. And I don't know how often Elijah came through town, but apparently he came through pretty frequently. Had to, because she built him a room, had him a bed. He always had something to eat. He was taken care of. Now, you find out that because of this woman's service, it actually got the attention of God. You missed that, didn't you? See, when you serve, you don't have to go and tell nobody, say, you know what, I've been doing this for the Lord. You know, I'm working hard for the Lord. You know, I'm holding it down for the Lord. You know, I'm doing my thing for the Lord. You telling everybody your business. See, but when you really serve, you don't have to advertise it. You don't have to blast it on the email. You just keep serving because God knows who's serving for him. And whenever you serve, you always get the attention of God. That's why you can't worry about if nobody gives you an attaboy, if nobody pats you on the back. Oh, if the pastor forgot to give me a certificate because didn't he know I was on the willing committee too? Why didn't I get something? No, pastor forgot you, but God doesn't forget you. And the whole time she's serving, she doesn't even realize that she's setting herself up for a season of change because she's serving. I wish God would do this. I wish God would turn around. I wish God would come and see about me. I don't know why God doesn't understand where I'm at. Doesn't he understand I'm frustrated? Doesn't he understand that I'm angry? Doesn't he understand that? I don't know. You don't get too much from God like that. It's the people that just keep on working. They got the same kind of issue. They got the same kind of problem. But they ain't blabbing that stuff out like you. They just working. They just working. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. They understand many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver me. I don't know when he's going to deliver me, but I just believe he's going to deliver me. The woman was serving. And through her serving, she actually got the attention of God. How do you say that, preacher? Because the Bible said there was a day that Elijah came to that house. And I believe, this is what I believe. This is just me now. I believe this, that Her service got the attention of God. When she got the attention of God, God then got the attention of Elijah to go and bless her. That's why you don't have to depend on somebody else to bless you. People are not your source. God is your source. God will get the attention. The heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. And like the rivers of water, he'll turn to God. If the king don't want to bless you, God will cause him to bless you. You just work for God. Well, they're not promoting now. God will give you an out of cycle promotion because it is not in the hand of the king. It's in the hand of God. Now, here it is. Here's this woman. She's serving. Nowhere do I read that she asked Elijah for anything. You know, because sometimes when we serve, we think, well, you know, I'm being good with the man of God. since I've been feeding you, you know, can you give me a little something? So, you know, I've been taking care of you. Put in a little prayer for me, you know. Prophesy over my life. Yeah. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Nowhere do I read that she said, you know, I've been taking care of you, so can you take care of my family? Lay your hands on me. You know, nowhere do I read that. She just perceived that somebody needs some help, and here she is. Gets the attention of God. And now, Elijah is awakened by the Lord in his spirit. It had to be because it just came out of the blue. Elijah says to Jehazi, go get me that Shunammite woman. God never forgets about his people. Never. And let me tell you something else as I'm moving through this text. Whatever man soweth, that will he also reap. It's a principle there. If you sow kindness, you can expect kindness back. If you sow love, you can expect love back. If you sow financial resources, you can expect financial resources back. It's a principle there. And as she was giving of herself, generosity and kindness, it's coming back now. So the Lord awakens Elijah in his spirit. And he calls Jehazi out and he says, go bring that Shunammite woman here. He comes, she comes, and he says, and I'm going to put it in plain English, you've been so kind to us. You've been so hospitable to us. You know, you fed us and you went as far as to make us a room, and I have a bed and I have candlelight and I can meditate before the Lord. Thank you so much. What can we do for you? What can we do for you? Now, you know, some of us, if God opens that door, well, here you go, God. I'm so glad you asked me. Here's my list. Let's see. Okay, mom and them need something. You can't forget my grandson. I got my little daughter. Okay, you know, my uncle, you know, he lost his job. So, you know, we got a laundry list. No. The woman, it's amazing to me that she says, I don't really need anything. He says, you need anything from the king? He said, because I got, you know, I'm in good with the king, you know. And, you know, some of y'all would say, you know, the king, yeah, you get, yeah, you know, set a boy up, you know, take care, homie. He said, you know, I'm in good with the king. You want me to put a word into you to the king? She says, no. What about the commander of the army? Because, you know, I know him personally, too. She says, no. She says, my family takes care of me. I'm good. You're good? I'm good. That's what she says to the prophet. I'm good. My question is, then why would God tell Elijah to go to her if God already knows she doesn't need anything? God never sends anybody to you if you don't need nothing. God ain't gonna waste his time. So it tells me she needed some or she wanted some. She just never articulated it. Because maybe she didn't believe that God had the ability to even do it. Let me walk you through the text. And the reason why I say that is Jehaziel, the servant of Elijah, says, there is something. Elijah says, what is it? Say something. Speak, boy. He says, she doesn't have a child. Didn't she know she didn't have a child? I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm just saying. Didn't she know she doesn't have a child? And here's the other part. He says, and her husband is old. Sisters, don't chuck. No. Sisters, keep looking straight. Don't you bust us out. Because a man will always say, I still got to go to. Let me go in tongues now. Don't y'all say a word. But it's out on the table now. She doesn't have a child and her husband is old. Signifying that there's a situation in her house. And she went as far as to believe that God couldn't work out her situation. So rather than ask God for that, she said, I'm not even going to ask. In other words, I'm not even going to hope for anything because I don't want to get my hopes up and, then get disappointed. So rather than get disappointed, I don't need anything. Now, I know none of y'all do that, do you? Y'all all high-minded, spiritual. Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Most brothers, you say, hey, man, you need some help. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. You bleeding on the inside. You got issues. You got some concerns. You need some help, but nah, I'm good. Now, you ain't really good. You just don't want to ask because you don't believe that it can change. Her husband is old. Got a problem. I got an external situation in my house. And I don't believe that things can change so that I can have a child. So rather than ask for a child and get my hopes up, I just said I didn't need anything. So she comes to a mighty God and not willing to tap into his might, but willing to live a lesser life with a mighty God. Some of you right now, you're willing to live right where you are, even though God wants to do more. And as long as you don't want anything, God's not going to do it. But I'm so glad that God came in and arrested her and busted her out and let her know, I know where you are. And you didn't articulate it, but I know that's what you need. Because I know your thoughts. Even before you even think that thought, I knew that you were thinking that. Because nowhere does she articulate that. I don't need anything. And what does Elijah? After Jehaziel said that, Elijah comes back and says, oh, this is where we pick up the season. He says, about this season, you're going to embrace a son. Season means appointed time, set time. If you look up the time, it's not chronos, it's kairos. That means a set time. It's going to happen then. He comes to her and says, at the set time, things are going to change for you. Now, I know you didn't ask. I know you didn't articulate it, but I know what you want. And I want you to understand, I have the ability to do what you want even though you didn't articulate it. Because I'm not limited by external situation. I'm not limited because your husband is old. Don't you know I did the same thing for Abraham? I'll turn around and do it for you because I have no respect no person. What is your problem? What problem is so big that God can't work out? What problem is so hard that God can't turn around? Why, God, whatever your need is, God can meet it.
Amen.
He says about this season, he said there's going to be a set time. And when the set time comes, you're going to embrace a son. Notice what he said. He wasn't generic because, sometimes we prophesy and we got these generic things. Tomorrow, the sun's going to shine. Well, normally the sun does shine every day. You know, don't give me no general stuff. That wasn't general. Because God wanted everybody to know that when this happened, this ain't going to be twins. This ain't going to be no girl, nothing against girls. This is going to be a boy. Maybe you'll have triplets next time. But right now, it's going to be a son. And it's going to happen at my appointed time. I don't know how old that woman was. We do know the father, her husband was old. Don't know how long she's been living with that secret desire, but unwilling to articulate it because she didn't have the faith to believe that God could turn it around. Some of y'all right now, I'm trying to get you to get your faith back out. That you can't accept that. God hasn't finished with you yet. He's going to turn some things around. There's an altering. There's a rearranging that's about to take place. You are entering into that season. And he says to her, about this season, you're going to embrace a son. Whew. Don't mock me. It's going to happen. Last verse, it says, and she conceived. Did you see that in verse 17? And she conceived. Women, you know what that means. She got pregnant. Yes, yes, yes. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that her husband left her. Why did I say that? The same man that was old, that couldn't do it, out of season. Somebody better talk back to me. But when it's your season, what couldn't work will work. What was stopped up will be unstopped when it's your season. Somebody high five me on that. Oh God, I feel that in the spirit of God. Yeah. Look at somebody say it's my season. Yeah, I'm going to have a coming out party now. All of y'all that thought I was dead, all of y'all that buried me, put the dust on me, it ain't over yet. I'm going to have a coming out party because it's my season. The Bible said she conceived. She didn't bring forth a Mary, John and James. Mm-mm. Wasn't twins. It was a baby boy. And here's what I love. Can I just read this part here? Let me just read this. You gotta get this. And the woman conceived. In other words, she got pregnant. And she bared a son. Look at this. Listen to this. At that season. Did you get it? At that season. What season? The appointed time that God said. That Elijah had said unto her. It didn't happen before time. It didn't happen after time. It happened at the appointed time because it was her season. And I want to tell every one of you, God has prophetically spoken today that you're entering into a season of change. And you're going to see things that you didn't see in the past. Oh, it's going to blow you away because things are going to turn around. The door that wouldn't open is going to open. Come on, somebody. Some of you are going to see financial turnaround because it's your season now. You're entering into a season of change. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had a bitter winter, but a winter is over and you're coming into your season of summer. The sun is going to shine. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all me. Somebody say a change. A change is coming. A shifting is coming. Yes. Yes. Oh, I feel that in the spirit realm. You've been waiting, but your wait is over because you're entering into that season. Oh, God, somebody's resonating in the spirit with that. Amen. You're entering into that sea. I've been waiting long enough. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My God, I feel my preacher there. Oh, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. A change is coming. 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 I speak that to you. Oh, yeah. I've been down long enough, but God's getting ready to lift you up. He's getting ready to open some doors for you. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, either have entered into your heart the things that God's going to give you. Somebody say, press that. Shake it together. Running over. God's going to bless you. Somebody say, change. Get that in your spirit. Change. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Does my Bible say, be not weary in well doing, for in due season. Did you get that? Due season. The appointed time. You shall reap if you faint not. That's why the devil was on some of you so hard. That's why he was pushing and gnawing at you so hard. Because he didn't want you to meet your due season. But the devil is a liar. You made it through the winter. Now you can look for your summer. Summer is on the horizon. The sun is going to shine. The temperature is going to change. Somebody say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm waiting. See, we have been in a season of battle. Oh God, winter was vicious. It's been tough, rough. We had a battle gear on. But we can rest a while now because we're coming into our season of change. Jesus told his disciples, you've been working a lot. Come alongside and rest a while. You're moving into a place of rest where God's going to handle it. Everything that you need now, he's going to handle it. Can I speak to y'all? He's going to handle it. He's going to take care of it. Oh, you wear well and you handle business, but God's going to get ready to handle it. He's going to blow you away what he's going to get ready to do. Change. There's a shifting coming. There's a shifting coming. There's a shifting coming. There's a shifting coming. He's going to handle this thing. He's going to handle this thing. He's going to handle it. The same way that woman experienced a season of change, many of you, you're entering into a season of change. When you connect to a ministry, you don't just physically connect there. You spiritually connect there. Which means everything that happens in the house of God, the thing that you're connected to, the people that it affects your life. If it doesn't, then why does the Bible say it? As the oil came down Aaron's head, it came down to his beard and even to the skirts of his garment. That means if you are connected to the man of God, everything that God does through me, it comes down to you. So as I'm shifting, as he's taking me up, guess what? Can I get you? Can you hold on to me, elder? Come on. And you hold on to him. That means if they're connected to me, when I go up, they going up. When God blesses me, when he takes me places, oh, somebody better get that. So you want me to go up if you got good sense. Because whatever you connected to, you don't want it to fail. You want it to keep moving. Somebody say move. You want it to prosper. So when I prosper, they prosper. When the oil hits my head, it gets to them. Thank you, brothers. Somebody give God praise for that word. I want everybody to stand to your feet now.